I'd like to read in the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 45, and it is verse 21, the latter part of verse 21 of Isaiah 45. And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none else, none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I'd like to speak a little word this evening on a word that we find in this verse. Is the word look. L-O-O-K, look. There's a man one time, he said, I was saved by my good looks. Now, what did that mean? What did he mean? He said, I had three good looks. First of all, I had a look at Christ on the cross, dying for my sins to provide salvation for me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He said, I had a look at Christ on the throne, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I looked at one on the cross, I looked at one on the throne, and I looked forward to one who's coming again in glory, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing in glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. We want to present in the gospel to you tonight a Savior who died on the cross, who is now risen in glory at the right hand of God, and who's coming again to take all the saved ones home to be in heaven for all eternity prior to the judgment that is going to fall upon this world by one who was one time rejected, but accepted by God, and is the future ruler and judge of all the earth. God says, I am God, and there is none else. By a look, the human race was ruined, and by a look, the human race can be restored. By a simple look, sin entered into the world. Genesis 3 and verse 6. Eve listened to the voice of the tempter. She looked at the tree that was forbidden for her to eat. And she looked at it. She lusted after it. She saw it as a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she laid hold of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband. And she lost her place of fellowship with God. That's how sin entered into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then we notice in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, telling Nicodemus of an incident that happened way back in the history of Israel in the book of Numbers chapter 21. When the children of Israel were bitten by a serpent because of their sin. And they cried unto God. And God told Moses to erect a serpent, to put it on a pole. And everyone who looked at that serpent would live. That's the promise of God. Look and live. And whoever beheld the serpent on the pole lived. That was God's way of salvation for those people to heed the word of God How did sin come into the world? By the serpent. How did salvation come into this world? Through the seed of the woman who had bruised the serpent's head. And that's what we have in the Gospel of John. The Lord said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, in order that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our brother said it very clearly tonight, that salvation is given to us in its simplicity. A little boy yesterday at a picnic, as a brother just brought it to my mind, I heard about it, but he was speaking, Brother Stuart Wilson, or his son was speaking to the children in Langley down at the border crossing. And he had a serpent of brass. He had a serpent, I don't know whether it was brass or not, it was on a pole anyway. And he asked the children, even the smallest child, can you look at that serpent on the pole? Oh yes, the little boy looks, I can see it here. You see, salvation is of the Lord. It's not because of man's wisdom. After that, the wisdom of God, man by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. The foolishness of preaching Christ on the cross, that does away with man's wisdom. Because all glory must be to God. And in God's wisdom, he provided a way of salvation so that man could not boast. Because it's by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every person who gets to heaven will glory in one thing alone. They'll glory in that man who died on the cross and shed his blood and was raised again from the dead. And they'll worship and glorify him forever and forever. And they'll sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches and power and glory and dominion forever and forever. So man has nothing to boast about. Man has a sin. Man is a sinner. He was bitten by that old serpent, the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross became identified with the sin that Adam brought into the world. He identified himself with that sin. Not that he was a sinner. Not that he ever had a spot against him. He was the undefiled lamb without blemish and without spot. But he was treated as if he was a sinner. All our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we go free. The first look I'm going to look at is the last look. And that we see in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. A woman, the wife of Lot, Lot's wife. And she was told she lived in that wicked city, Sodom and Gomorrah, given over to homosexuality and all the evils that we see prominent in our day today. She lived in that filthy city. Her husband's soul was vexed with the filthy manner of life of those people day by day. And the angel came and said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. That's the word of God through the angel. Don't look back longingly to that city that's under condemnation, which is going to be burned with fire. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt. She may not have just taken a little glance. She looked back because her heart was there. She's like what we read in the Gospel of John. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men love pleasure rather than God. And that's the way it was with Lot, Lot's wife. She looked back. Some love this world too much to accept God's simple plan of salvation. The devil said, if you get saved, you'll have to give this up, you'll have to give that up. The devil doesn't tell you if you die without Christ, you'll be lost forever. Lot's wife, she had a last look at her husband. She had a last look at her children. She had a last look at the sun. She had a last look at this beautiful earth. And she had the last look at Sodom where her heart was. And someday, with all of the last look, and where will you spend eternity? Our brother gave that hymn out, impressed me. Eternity, oh dreadful thought, for thee, a child of Adam's race, if thou shouldst in thy sins be brought, and stand before the awful face, from which the heaven and earth shall flee, the throne one of eternity. Every one of us is a child of Adam's race. We may have different colors. We may have different backgrounds, but we're all of one race. We're all linked to Adam, the first man. And because of his sin, we were born sinners, but only held responsible for our own sins. As we read, if we didn't read it, we should have read it. God says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, but unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. We must all stand before God and give an account unto him. Lot's wife is an example of one who loves mere things, the consequence of loving mere temporal things. And a warning against disobedience to the specific command of God. Don't look back. And a reminder of the unchanging character of God. God is a just God, and the Savior. God is just. He must punish sin. And God is a Savior who delights to give salvation to the whosoever will. He does it righteously, that he might be just, we read, and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. So the cross shows us that God is just and that God is love. The last look, the lost look. A man down in hell that says he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Lost in hell. This is one of the greatest proofs of the love and mercy of God in with taking us, pulling aside the curtain and letting us have a look into eternity. In hell. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There are many things not found in hell, I was talking to a taxi driver, no offense to taxi drivers, but I tried to witness to him many years ago, and he laughed at me. Oh, he said, if I go to hell, I'll have lots of company, there'll be lots of taxi drivers down in hell. One day, sometime later, I was in the prison, visiting a fellow that I knew, and I heard a voice saying, John, can I talk to you afterwards? I said, certainly. So after I'd finished with this stand, the gates were unlocked, and he was brought in. Can you try and get me out of here? I said, you've lots of company. Oh, no, I wasn't worried about the company now. He was in a place that wasn't happy. He wanted out. It's often been said there's a way into hell, but there's no way out. That's sad. I often tell people there's hardly a day passes that I don't think of eternity. And I look at people. I said to my wife just the other day, my son, look at these people. Some of these people that we're looking at, if they're not saved, they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. No hope. Abandon hope. All ye that enter here. What a solemn message. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 9, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because there's judgment following death. The Lord Jesus Christ was once offered on Calvary. He shed his blood and bear the punishment so that we could be saved and escape the torments of eternal fire. No, there's no company in hell. And there's no rest, no peace, no water, no comfort, no Bible, no tracts, no Christians, no Christians. Christians are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. They should be those who preserve from corruption and shine as lights in the world of sin and darkness. We trust no one in this gathering will ever be in that awful place and stand before that awful face. The glory of Christ. Just one flash of his deity made the soldiers fall back to the ground. That could happen as a rejected Savior. What will happen when the exalted Lord Jesus Christ comes in all his glory with his mighty angels taking vengeance on those that know not God and that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Someone said, why hell? The answer came back, why Calvary? Why Calvary? Sad. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he looked for some to take pity and for comforters, but he found none. Don't we sing sometimes, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. sin had left its crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He, his own self, there are sinners in his own body on the tree. When he had by himself made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. By one man's disobedience, so by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. The Lord came in to deal with the sin of the first man. Mr. Churchill said at the Battle of Britain, many years ago, the Great War, Second Great War, Second World War, never was so much owed by so many to so few. The Christian can say, never was so much owed by so many to one man. One man, and that man is the Son of God. That man is the Creator of the universe. That man is the Christ of God. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My friend, you're not saved. God is offering you his salvation. God's love is fully demonstrated in his Son. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A life-giving look. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. That's Charles Haddon Spurgeon's text. As a young man, he walked into a meeting a snowy morning, 15, in the little church in England. The minister didn't turn up. One of the elders got up, very haltingly, he read the text we've read here tonight. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And he points down at Spurgeon and said, young man, you look miserable. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. What does it mean to look to Christ? Well, we may look to the physician if we're sick. Some of us here have had major surgery, and the surgeon would have a talk with us. I'm going to do this and that. We're put under an anesthetic, and we're looking to that surgeon. As well as looking to God, we look to that surgeon to bring us through the operation. It's one thing to believe about Christ. It's another thing to believe on Christ. To depend on him. To rest our soul on him and his work for us on Calvary in relation to our soul's salvation. Look, the easiest possible thing. Look unto me, the greatest possible person, not to look to the church, not to look to the preacher, not even to look to the scriptures. Because the Lord said to the Jews, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but there are they which testify of me. The scriptures point to a person. So we've got to put our trust in a person. Look unto me and be ye saved. The greatest possible blessing. Saved. Saved from sin. Saved from hell. Saved for hell. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The greatest possible number. There is no limit to God's salvation. God is interested in the salvation of all men. And if some are lost, they're lost because they have not accepted the provision that God has made in Christ. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For I am God, the greatest possible advantage. Our brother has told us it's not what he says, it's what God says. He says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Only one God. Well, there's certain lots of religions in the world, and they all have their own gods. Some religions have a multiplicity of gods. There's only one true God. John says, we know the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and eternal life. Word to God, someone would look tonight, as they would look to the physician, as they would look to an honorable lawyer. I have to qualify that. Put your hands, your affairs into the hands of a lawyer that's honest and upright. Leave it all with him. And God wants you to commit all to him. Trust him. He loves you. He died for you, that you might escape the eternal burdens. And he's given us a warning. Escape for thy life. May God bless his word that we've heard, what we've read, and may it result in your salvation. Let us pray. Father, we bless thee for the word of God, the simplicity of God's way of salvation. We realize, our Father, we cannot present the Lord Jesus Christ as we would like to. We thank thee that the Son of God has come according to divine plans and purposes, and he has finished the work thou gavest him to do. He's put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And we thank thee that the offer of salvation is still for the whosoever will. And we know that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross as an object of faith, in order that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bless thy word. Thank thee for all who have come this evening. Take us to our homes in safety. Thank thee for the powers that be. Thank thee for those in authority and the way we can meet together in peace and safety. And remember all who preach Christ to the four corners of the earth. And we pray that souls will be saved. You know, thy word tells us they're going to come from the east and the west, and the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. So we thank thee, O Father, the house of God is going to be filled, and all who will be there are there because of their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy great love. We commend ourselves to thee in his worthy and precious name. Amen. We'll sing a hymn together, a verse or two at least. Sorry, I've gone over time a little bit. It's number 128. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who is nailed to the tree. We'll sing verses 2 and 3 of number 128, 2 and 3.